What does the Scripture say? My name is Ben Bailey.
When we think about powerful studies about Jesus Christ, we often think of studies maybe in the life of Christ, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These teach us about His life, what He said, what He did, and how He died for each one of us. We might think of studies like the study in the book of Revelation, where we see the victorious Christ and His church overcoming all world powers. But do we think of studying about Jesus in the Old Testament as a powerful study about Christ? Oftentimes we overlook Jesus and His role in the Old Testament. But someone has rightly said that if we don't see Jesus in the Old Testament, then we've missed the whole point of the Old Testament. And friends, that's exactly true. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20, Jesus said, "I didn't come to destroy, but I came to fulfill the old law." In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24, the Apostle Paul said that the old law, it was a tutor, it was a guide, leading us up to Jesus Christ. And so we need to know that a study of Jesus can also be found in the Old Testament that will encourage us, that will help us to know more about His character, and that will give us great faith in Jesus as God Himself. We think about the majesty and power of Christ, first of all, at creation. When we think of studies about Jesus in the Old Testament, we think about His majesty, and we think about the power that Jesus has at creation. For example, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible teaches that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We think of this passage and we often think of the power of the Father. Here is God, and out of nothing, He spoke the world into existence. Let there be light. And there was light. But do we understand that the New Testament teaches us that the agent of creation was none other than Jesus Himself? In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, Paul said by inspiration that Jesus is the firstborn over creation. For by Him all things were made, whether in heaven or on earth. The Hebrews writer said in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that God spoke in past times by the fathers to the prophets. He spoke in many different ways and different forms, but has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, notice now, through whom also He made the worlds. Jesus is seen in the New Testament as being the agent of creation. This expresses to us the great power and the majesty that Jesus, the Son of God, has. We not only see Him as the man who walked the land of Galilee, healing people of their disease and sickness, but as the one who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The one who spoke out of nothing, or who spoke and the world was created out of nothing. You see, Jesus is seen in His pre-incarnate form in the Old Testament. John chapter 1 sheds light on this. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. By Him all things were made," John will teach us, "as well as heaven, in heaven or on earth." Now, who is this Word that is speaking, being spoken of in John chapter 1, verse 1? Well, if we look down in verse 14 of that same chapter, we clearly can understand who it is. "And the Word was made flesh," or "the Word was manifest to us. He became flesh as the only begotten of the Father." Who is that? None other than Jesus Himself. He was the Word. He was with God. He was God. He became flesh. He became a man. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 9. "He became obedient unto death as a servant, took upon the form of a bondservant." You see, all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 following, we learn that the Godhead consists of more than just the Father. God said, "Let us make man in our image." Now, who is God talking about? He's talking about the Godhead, and there is a plurality in the Godhead: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What then does this teach us about Jesus? Friends, it ought to encourage us to know the majesty and the power that Jesus had at creation. If Jesus could say, "Let there be light," and light existed, think about the power that He can have in our lives if we'll only allow Him to. If Jesus can create the world out of nothing, surely, if I will turn my life over to Him, He has the power to make it what He wants it to be. But as we think about Jesus in the Old Testament, we also see Him in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 as the seed of woman who was going to crush the head of Satan. The world is created. Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we have the creation of Adam and Eve. The family unit exists in the home as God designed for it to be. There's perfect unity and harmony until Genesis chapter 3. And that subtle serpent comes in, and he deceives Adam and Eve. They're told one thing not to do. Don't eat of the certain tree that God had placed in the garden. And Satan said, did God really say don't eat that? You know why he said that? He doesn't want you to be like him. And Satan tempted them, and they ate of that fruit. And as a result, they recognized their nakedness, their sin, and they fell from God's grace and were eventually cast out of the garden. But in the midst of this scene of sin and turmoil, there's hope in Jesus Christ. For Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 says that the seed of woman was going to deal a death blow to the head of Satan. He was going to crush the head of Satan. Satan was going to give him a blow on his heel, it seems like, not a death blow, but Jesus, the seed of woman, was going to crush the head of Satan. Paul comments on this in Romans chapter 16 and verse 26 when he says to Christians, God will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Friends, I'm encouraged to know that as we even open to pages in the Old Testament that are bleak, that are dim, that are dismal because of sin, we can still see Jesus as the hope of salvation. And friends, Genesis 3:15 really sets the scene for everything that's going to occur in the New Testament. He's the seed of woman. Not the seed of man and woman, the seed of woman. Isaiah 7 verse 14, he would be born of a virgin. Matthew 1 verses 19 through 21, Jesus was born of a virgin and he is called Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And so this aspect of Jesus in the Old Testament ought to encourage us along the lines of redemption by knowing that even when we were at our darkest, even when man had got caught up in sin, God, through His Son, was already preparing a way to bless us. Which leads us directly into our next thought on Jesus in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we learn about Jesus as the one who would bless all nations. The context of Genesis chapter 12 is that of Abraham. God is making some promises to Abraham, how he'll be great and how he will bless all nations through his seed. Listen to the words of Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, Now the Lord said to Abram, Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the earth shall be blessed, or in your seed. Here's a promise that, again, the New Testament delivers more fully for us about Jesus Christ. Now, this same promise is made to Isaac in Genesis 22, verse 18 as well. In your seed, all nations of the earth shall be blessed. Now, there's no doubt about it. The Jews had distorted this idea to no end in the New Testament era. They thought because they were the descendants of Abraham, because they had Abraham's blood running in their veins, they thought naturally we're going to be blessed regardless. And Jesus said, no, that's not the case. He said in John chapter 8 and 9, I'm able to raise up seed from Abraham from these stones. Don't just say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. But the point we want to notice from this is that this blessing did not necessarily come through Abraham. And it did not necessarily come through Isaac. When God said, in your seed, all nations will be blessed. Who was he talking about? Well, we're given a divine commentary in Galatians chapter 3. Verses 15 through 19. And he said seeds, not seed. And he said seed, not seeds as of many, but one. And Paul says, and to your seed, who is Christ. Who is he talking about? Abraham and his descendants? Paul says, no. He didn't say seeds. He said seed. Who's he talking about? Jesus, the Son of God, was the seed of Abraham. Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapter 3. He came from the lineage of Abraham himself, and thus we can know that Jesus is the one who would bless all nations. This is a powerful teaching, again, about God's redemptive plan, all the way back to the time of Abraham, all the way working through the patriarchs and the prophets, Moses, David. All these people were in God's scheme for one purpose, and that was to bring Jesus into the world so that He could bless all nations. You see, God's not just the God of Israel. He's not just the God of the Jews or the God of the Gentiles. Jesus said this, "You go into all the world and preach the gospel." Why? Because Jesus is the Savior of all men. Hebrews 2 verse 9, He tasted death for every man. 1 John 2 verses 1 and 2, He's the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours alone, for the sins of the whole world. And so what an encouraging point it is to know that Jesus, through Abraham and through His seed, is the one who would bless all nations. We also see Jesus in the Old Testament as the peace bringer or the peaceful one. In Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10, we are told that one would come from Shiloh and he would be the bringer of peace. That promise and that prophecy about the lawgiver and the king, the Shiloh, the peaceful one. Who's that talking about? David and Solomon? No, not necessarily, because during the times of David, there was war. And during the times of Solomon, there was sin and wickedness that occurred, and God's people were not always at peace. Who is this peace bringer, this peaceful one? Again, it is none other than Jesus Himself of the tribe of Judah. The one who truly brings peace between God and man. I would suggest to you that Jesus doesn't bring to us national peace. He does not bring to us necessarily domestic peace. Jesus brings us peace between man and God. And friends, that's the most important peace of all. When we think about Christ and what He has done for mankind and what He continues to do for us, we need to know that through Him, He is the only way that we can find true peace. At His birth, the angels sang, "Peace on earth and goodwill toward men." Jesus in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, He's called the Prince of Peace. Of all the peace bringers, He's the greatest, is the idea. And the gospel is the gospel of peace. Colossians chapter 1 teaches us this. And thus Paul would say, in Philippians chapter 4, in verses 6 through 8, that we can have the peace of God because of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that He made. He brings us that peace. He's made peace between man and God. And when we obey the gospel, we can have peace that surpasses all understanding. We want you to know today that more than anything, God loves you and Jesus Christ, His Son, wants you to go to heaven. Throughout the Old Testament, God has been working to find a plan of salvation. That plan of salvation is here and available for us today. Paul said in Romans 1:16 that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is the power of God unto salvation. Today, you can take advantage of all that Jesus did for us. You can take advantage of His sacrifice and become a Christian today if you're willing to believe that Jesus is God's Son. If you're willing to believe so much that you change your life and repent, turn from sin and to God, confess Jesus as God's Son and Savior of the world, and then you must be baptized for the remission of your sins. When Peter preached the gospel in Acts chapter 2, the people cried out in verse 37, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? We realize we've crucified our own Messiah. What can we do to rid ourselves of this guilt and be right with God?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." If you've never obeyed the gospel, why not do that today? God and His Son have done everything possible to make salvation available. The question is with us. Will we accept that sacrifice and obey God's will? We're praying and hoping that you will today as we think more about Jesus in the Old Testament.